Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, we're going through the New Testament, and we're right now in Luke chapter 23, which means that we are in the last week of the life and the ministry of Jesus. And right now, we're at the place where what's happened is the religious leaders have been after Jesus. They want to kill him. They want to get rid of him. They did not want to do it during the Passover, but that's when it's going to happen because Jesus is the Passover. So it's going to happen during the Passover. Where we are right now is that Jesus was praying on the Mount of Olives, and Judas Iscariot had agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. All of this was prophesied. And so they come and get Jesus at the Mount of Olives. They take him away. They arrest him. Now, this is the religious authorities. The religious authorities had been given some authority by Rome to be able to put people on religious trials, but they couldn't kill them. They could kick them out of the synagogue and ostracize them and maybe discipline them somehow, but they couldn't kill him, but they wanted to kill Jesus. So they bring him to the house of the high priest, and there all night they're trying to find something that they can bring him to the civil authorities for so that the civil authorities will kill him. So they're looking for something. They really can't find anything. The Caesars, they wanted to be the kings, the sovereigns, and the only ones. And so if Jesus claims to be king, well, then they can say there's a rival king. You need to get rid of him. So we pick up in verse 66 of chapter 22. And it says, at daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they met together, and Jesus was led before them. And they said, if you're the Messiah, tell us. Well, he had been. And Jesus answered, if I tell you, you won't believe me. And if I asked you, you wouldn't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of Almighty God. So he's talking about his death. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about his ascension into heaven. And they said, well, then, are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, it's just as you say that I am. You say that I am. And then he said, we don't need any more testimony. We've heard it from his own lips. So chapter 23 of Luke. Then the whole assembly rose. They all get together, all these religious leaders going in procession. And they lead him to Pilate. Now, Pilate is the governor of the area. And what happened during Passover is literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of pilgrims would come into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. And Rome was always afraid there might be some rebellion, might be some riot, might be some uprising. And so there's a lot of soldiers, a lot of Roman soldiers in Jerusalem right now. And Pilate really doesn't want any trouble. Because if he gets in trouble in Jerusalem, then he's going to have to answer to his superiors. So he doesn't want trouble. Well, they bring him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him. And they said, we have found this man subverting our nation. Well, now they weren't really loyal to Rome. They were really loyal to the nation. And now all of a sudden they're saying that he's a subversive. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar. Well, that didn't happen. He tried to trap him in the tax question. And Jesus said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's and give to God that which is God's. And he claims to be the Messiah or a king. Well, there's supposed to only be one king. Now, if Pontius Pilate is saying there's another king, then he can be in trouble with the sovereign. So Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, you've said so. And then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no basis for a charge against this man. Now, this is interesting that Pilate is going to declare that Jesus is innocent. Well, he was. He's the innocent one dying for the guilty. He who knew no sin becomes sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Pilate says that he's innocent. Pilate's wife has the dream where she says that he's innocent. But they insisted. They want to get rid of Jesus, verse 5. He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee, and he's come all the way to here now. He started up in the Galilee region, and now he's here in the city, stirring everybody up. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he heard that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. This is what is called pass the buck. Nobody wants to be the one to handle the Jesus case, so they're passing him around. And so Pilate passes him to Herod. Well, let him go to Herod because he's not under my jurisdiction. Send him to the court somewhere else. So he goes to see Herod, who's in Jerusalem at that time. Verse 8, when Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. He had heard all about him. Now he's one of the rulers and he'd heard about Jesus, but he hadn't really talked to him. And now he gets to talk to Jesus. From what he had heard about him, he had hoped to see him perform some sign of some sort. He had heard that Jesus was giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and healing the lame. And he wanted to see something like that. He was like, wow, I'd love to see that. You know, bring him to me. I hope he does a sign. I hope he does a miracle. Verse 9, he plied him with many questions, but Jesus didn't answer him. Now, that's what the scripture says, that he would not answer like a sheep before his shearers. He would remain silent. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him, making all kinds of accusations. And then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. They made fun of him. They dressed him in an elegant robe, and then they sent him back to Pilate. Here's the king. They were like, this guy's harmless. This guy hasn't done anything. So Pilate says he hasn't done anything. He sends him to Herod, and Herod says, you know what, he's nothing. This guy's harmless. Just you deal with him. I don't want to deal with him. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. They'd been enemies before that. So kind of interesting that Jesus brings these sort of enemies together as the religious leaders are trying to get them to kill Jesus. Pilate called together all the chief priests and the rulers of the people, and he said to them, you brought me this man who was inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence with you here, and I don't find any basis for the charges against him. I don't find any basis. I know what you've said, but you haven't proved it. Neither has Herod. You brought him to Herod. Herod didn't find anything in him either. Herod sent him back here. For he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. He's innocent. He is the perfect Lamb of God. He is God in the flesh. He is the incarnation. He is the only perfect one. He's the one who knew no sin. He said, therefore, I'll punish him and release him. Well, beat him up and hit him in the head and send him back. But the whole crowd shouted, away with this man. Release Barabbas to us. Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city for murder. Well, wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. For the third time he spoke to him, he said, why? What crime has this guy committed? I find no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I'll have him punished and release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and the shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. So it's a big political issue because there's hundreds of thousands of Jewish pilgrims there. And if Pilate doesn't give in to it, he's going to find himself with some angry, angry people. So it's really a political decision, politically expedient decision. They would every year, because it was such a tense relationship between the Jewish community and the Roman community, every year at Passover, the governor would release a political prisoner, you know, one of the dissidents, a poet, rebellion leader. And he would do it as a gesture of goodwill. See, we want to get along, you know, here, take your rebel back. Here he is. We don't. And he tried to release Jesus, saying that Jesus was that guy, but they shouted they wanted Barabbas. So Barabbas goes free, the criminal goes free, and the innocent one dies. Well, that's the whole story of the gospel. That's the whole story of Jesus Christ. Barabbas is the first one to really receive what we call the substitutionary death of Jesus, that Jesus took his place. You see, this guy deserved death. Jesus doesn't deserve death. This guy is guilty. Jesus is not guilty. And so here, the innocent one, Jesus himself, takes the place of the innocent one. Jesus, who should not be dying for a penalty for sin or for doing something wrong, he's innocent. The innocent dies for the guilty. Jesus takes his place. And so there you find the first time that Jesus becomes the substitutionary death for a sinner. He takes the place on the cross of a sinner. And that's what he's done for you and me. He has gone to the cross for our sins. How is sin defined? As missing the mark. So it can be either our act of rebellion, we're actively rebelling against God, we're doing our own thing, we're sinning, we're doing whatever. Or maybe it's our passive indifference, that we're just living our lives and making some money and making some things happen and taking some trips and doing whatever it is that we're doing, and we don't really think about God, so we're passively indifferent towards him. But that's a sin, because we should be giving our Creator tribute. We should be giving him glory. We should be recognizing our Creator. Or we're actively rebelling. Either case, Barabbas becomes the first one to receive the substitutionary death of Jesus on the cross. Jesus takes the place of the guilty, and you and me. Hey, Bible and Daily Life. Bless you guys.